In the town of Barrow, Alaska, in the United States, for around 60 days each year, November through to December, the sun never rises. It sounds terrible, but I know that some of you may end up being stationed there one day. The town is so far north that for that whole 2 months, it sits in permanent darkness. And obviously it has a negative effect on people. It makes people ill. They lack vitamin D. It makes people depressed. It can be difficult to sleep. The street lights are left on 24 hours a day. Obviously without the sun, the temperature plummets. Now, I mention that not just because I'm glad I don't live there, but to make perhaps the obvious point, we need the light of the sun to live. And probably here in England, we just take it for granted that each day the sun comes up. And even in the dreary days of winter, we have plenty of sunlight. We might take it for granted, but without it, without that light, you can't live. We cannot live. Now, we've heard in the scriptures this morning that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was like a great light coming into the world, into the darkness of our world. As the prophet Isaiah said, the people who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The people dwelling in moral and spiritual darkness, hopeless, despairing, without God, the darkness of death. But now, the light of God has come. The light of truth. The light of hope. Jesus Christ. The prophet Simeon says something very similar. When the infant Lord Jesus was brought into the temple on his eighth day, Simeon declared, "At last my eyes have seen God's salvation. A light to bring revelation to the nations." And then you heard the same thing, the same image and picture in the Gospel of John. In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It didn't grasp it. This was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so especially today, as you're thinking about the birth of Jesus Christ, consider with me what this means. He is the great light that's come into our dark world. And without his light, you cannot live. You cannot live unless you walk in his light and know God. Only in his light can you truly live. John's gospel, as you heard, it began with the words, "In the beginning." Which, of course, is a direct reference to the very first words of the Bible and to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. Where God tells us about the creation of the universe in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And over the course of 7 days, the Lord created a beautiful, vibrant world, ordered, bountiful, teeming with life, designed for us, his creatures, so that we could flourish in it. And as you might know, the very first act of creation is the Lord said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God flooded creation, the whole universe, with light. And his light shone on the earth so that life could begin. Now, lots of people have wondered, how could there have been light on day one of creation when the Bible says that the sun and the stars and the moon aren't created until day four? Well, does that just mean the Bible's a kind of a poem or myth or something? Not at all. Because the truth is, in fact, far more wonderful. The light of day one was the light of God's own glory. It was the light of God's own glorious presence, which God allowed and sent out to shine upon and fill his creation. He filled the world with the light of his own glory and presence. And the Bible often, when it speaks of God and reveals God to us, it says that it's like he is light and that light comes from him. It's a way of trying to help us understand his glory and majesty, his purity, his holiness. God is so unlike us. He is an eternal, perfect, infinite, unchanging spirit. Our tiny minds can't comprehend, can't grasp how great he is. But he is pure goodness. There is no darkness in him at all, the Bible says. Just like, you know, light and darkness, they don't mix. When light appears, darkness is banished. It dissipates, it melts away. So wherever God is, evil, it just disappears. He is the greatest being, unlike any other being. And so because we can't peer into that, he's so great. The Bible says it's like light is shining out from him, a dazzling bright light that's so glorious, none of us can look at it and live. It's a light so bright, no man can approach him, no man can see all that he is. It's like when you look at the sun directly and it blinds you. God is so awesome. It's like he's this great light. So infinitely great. And at creation, it's this light coming from him that he shines out on creation. He's revealing himself. He's presencing himself. The story of creation is to give us life. We needed God's light to be shining upon us, to know him. It's only as you know him that you live. When the Bible says God is light, it's another way of saying God is truth. He only ever says and does what is true. And in fact, he's the great truth by which you can know all other truth. You need light to see anything at all. You need God to be able to see any truth. He's the sun around which all of the truth revolves. In his light, we see light, as Psalm 36 puts it. So now do we understand how awesome the words of John's gospel are? This light, this dazzling light of the Creator God, who made all things, without whom there's nothing, this great light has come into the world. The one whose very presence gives life and being to all things has entered into our world, our tiny world, and has been born as a human baby in Bethlehem. I mean, his greatness is unsearchable. The miracle of him becoming man, unfathomable. This light, John says. And then John tells us why he's come. It's to contend with darkness. So just as at the beginning in creation, he shone into darkness so we could live, he's come again to shine into the darkness so we can live. But the darkness that John is speaking about is not the natural darkness of unfinished creation, but the unnatural darkness of sin, our moral, spiritual darkness, our ignorance of God. In sin, we're in darkness, we're blind to God. I've heard people have said to me sometimes, where is God? Where can I see God? How can I know that God is real? His glory shines out in all that he has made constantly. In the beauty and the wonder, the mystery, the order of all that God has made. His glory is just shining through, and it's so clear. In the gift of life, the wonder of life, like in a precious baby, that it's his gift. It is mind-boggling that as human beings we're so blind that we would even deny that there's a creator. It's like we're walking around with blinkers on to try and hide away from this clear glory of God that shines all around us. And so men don't know him. And there's as many opinions about God and what he's like as there are people. And this moral darkness, this ignorance of God, leads us into wrongdoing. The Bible says our sins are the works of darkness, the products of darkness. So our acts of greed and hatred and selfishness, they are by nature dark. They're the very opposite of who God is. And we usually commit sin in the dark, don't we? We try and hide it away and keep it secret. But the root cause of all our wrongdoing is this spiritual darkness that we don't know God. Without him, without the light of knowing who he really is, we just cannot live as we should. You cannot be good without God. A plant can't grow without sunlight. Human goodness cannot grow unless it's in the light of God and knows God and his presence. And so this is the darkness that the light comes into the world to contend with. And that darkness will never comprehend him, never grasp him or overcome him. And so Jesus comes to reveal God. And he comes not just to tell us about God, but to show us God. Because he is God. He's not just the word from God or the word about God. He is the word made flesh. As John puts it, no one has seen God at any time because of his great, dazzling, majestic light. But the only begotten Son, he has declared him. He has revealed him. And that word declared in the original is very interesting. It really means something like he has exegeted him. It's like saying God is a closed book, a mystery to us. But the Son has come and opened up the book and said, here it is. Here is who God is. To see Jesus is to see God. To know Jesus and receive him is to know and receive God. There's no more need to stumble around in the dark. What is God like? How do I know him? No looking up at the stars guessing. We've got this bright noonday light. We know exactly who our God is. A loving and merciful God. And we see his glory in the face of Jesus. We see he's a God who wants to save us from our sin. So he will endure darkness on the cross, total darkness, because he will take that sin and its punishment on himself in order to rescue us and redeem us. And a God so powerful, he can overcome even death and open up a way for us to have eternal life so that even if we die, we don't have to be afraid. This, John says, this is the great light that's come. And the meaning of Christmas and all the rest of it, it's not some feel-good message about being with loved ones and being kind, great as that is. It's about this most stunning, dramatic event that has ever happened, that God, who is light, has come into the darkness to give you life so you can know him. The Creator's entered creation and the Son of God becomes man. And then John goes on to say that this light is offered to each of us. He says he is the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And so our Lord's birth and his entrance into the world and all his saving needs, it gives light to every man. Now what does that mean? Well, then the gospel explains in the next few verses. It says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Christ is the light to every man in that he invites every man every man, woman and child to come to him, to come into his light, to know God in Jesus and live. Even that you may know him in such a special way, you can become God's child. You can be forgiven all sin and accepted by God and given everlasting life. You can know him so that his light comes into your life and heart in a powerful way to give you hope and peace and everlasting life in his kingdom. And so his offer to every man is receive him, trust him, embrace him, come walk in his light. In that invitation, there is a challenge. The Lord from Bethlehem asks you, are you walking in the light? Or are you still in darkness? Do you know God in Jesus Christ? Problem with being in the dark, of course, is you don't even see that you're in the dark. If you're blind, how do you even begin to see? And we're in such darkness in sin, we don't even see it and know it. But the scriptures give us a helpful test. It says in 1 John chapter 2, the one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. There's the test to find out whether you're in darkness or whether you're in the light of Jesus. Do you know where you're going? Do you know your purpose and end? Do you know where you're going in life? Have you thought about ultimate things, the meaning of life? Have you got solid answers? Do you know where you're going when you come to die? Or are those things just really unknown to you and a mystery? Maybe they even make you anxious. But the one who walks in the light, scriptures say he knows where he's going. His path shines brighter and brighter until the dawning of the day. If you're in the light and you know Jesus Christ as your God, you know where you're going. You know the meaning and purpose of your life. It's to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And you know that you're going to everlasting life, to everlasting joy. Do you know where you're going, or are you in the dark? The great light of Christ has come. You don't have to stay in the dark anymore. Come into the light. Awake, sleeper, and Christ will give you light. You can have real hope. You can have light in your life if you will come and walk in the light of Jesus. Come follow him. Put your faith in him. A few summers ago, the family and I, we were on holiday in Wales, and we went to one of the old closed down coal mines there. And we went deep, deep underground, and there's a moment on the tour where the guide turns off all the lights and you're down under the ground and you're in total darkness, unlike anything you ever experienced on the surface. And the darkness feels oppressive. And even if you can say to yourself, it's all fine, you feel a bit uneasy. You feel the weight of that darkness. And then it was such a relief when the guide turns on his helmet light and he said, follow me. The world can be a very dark place and oppressive. But there's this great light. It's Jesus Christ. And he says, come, follow me. He is the light that is the life of men. And the only way to live is walking in his light. May the glory of God shine on you from the face of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O most holy Father, who dwells in unapproachable light, you are the one so glorious, even the holy angels must veil their faces and bow down before you. And so how much more do we need to bow low before you? Because we are all sinners. We've all spent our lives walking in darkness and have sinned against you. And how great, Lord, is your mercy that your Son, the one through whom all things were made, the one whose light fills the universe, was willing to come down to us sinners to be our friend and to rescue us. Lord, we pray that if any of us here today do not know you and the true hope and the true life that you give, we ask, Lord, that you would open their eyes, that your light would shine into their hearts. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to them in a powerful way and call them to follow you. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are the light that the darkness will never comprehend. It will never overcome. But that your light will grow brighter and brighter until all things are made new. And in this hope, Lord, we trust in you. May all glory be yours forever and ever. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.